Welcome back, and let's get into something properly nasty, properly useful, and very much in the spirit of old school jungle and Raggedy NB. In this lesson, we're building a tape dusted air horn hit in Ableton Live 12, but not just as a one-off sound effect. We're making a DJ-friendly accent tool, something you can drop into an intro, a breakdown, a reload, a switch up, or a call and response phrase and have it feel like it belongs in the track. The big idea here is simple. Think accent system, not lead synth. This horn is not meant to take over the tune. It's meant to punctuate the groove, like a musical shout that cuts through the breakbeat, gets the crowd's attention, and leaves space for the drums and bass to keep doing their thing. So the sound we want has three main ingredients. First, the horn itself, which gives us the recognizable ragga attitude. Second, a take dust layer, which adds that worn-out cassette, dubplate, slightly unstable character. Third, a low support layer, which helps the hit feel weighty without turning the whole thing into mud. Once we've got those three parts, we'll shape them into a rack, map a few macros, and then place the result into a DJ-friendly structure that actually works in a jungle arrangement. Let's start with the source. Pick a sample that already has attitude. A classic air horn, a ragga horn stab, a brass hit, even a shout chopped into a horn-like shape can work. What matters is that it has a strong mid-range identity and a quick transient. You want something that can speak immediately. Avoid super polished, glossy EDM horns unless your plan is to mangle them hard. For this style, a bit of grit from the start is a good thing. Drag that sample into an audio track in Ableton and open the clip view. If the sample needs warping, keep it minimal. The important thing is to set the start point tightly on the transient so the hit feels immediate. If the sample has a long tail, trim it now. Don't worry, we're going to rebuild the space later in a more controlled way. At this stage, keep the source short, punchy, and focused. Now let's clean and control the core horn. Start with EQ8. High pass somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz to clear out unnecessary low rumble. If the horn feels boxy, dip a bit around 250 to 450 Hz. And if the top end is sharp or painful, gently tame the 3 to 6 kHz area. We're not trying to make it hi-fi. We're trying to make it sit in a dense jungle mix without fighting the kick, snare, and bass. After that, a drum bus. This is a really strong move for this kind of sound, because it can give you punch and density without totally flattening the transient. Keep the drive moderate, maybe somewhere in the 5 to 15% range. If you want more snap, push the transient control a little. I'd usually keep boom off or very subtle here, because we're not trying to turn the horn into a kick drum. We just want it to hit with authority. Then add saturator. Turn soft clip on, give it a little drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and compensate the output so you're not fooled by pure loudness. This helps the horn feel denser and more printed, which is exactly the vibe we want. Use utility after that for gain staging and a quick mono check. That mono check matters a lot here, because if the character vanishes in mono, the sound may be relying too much on stereo tricks instead of actual weight. Now we build the tape dust layer. This is the character sauce. It's what makes the horn feel like it came from a battered cassette deck, a dusty sampler, or a dub plate that's been passed around a few too many times. There are a couple of ways to do this. One option is to create a noise-based layer using operator or analog. In operator, switch an oscillator to noise, give it a short envelope with no sustain, and low pass it so it doesn't sound like bright white hiss. You're aiming for a layer that kisses the transient rather than announcing itself. Then process it with erosion. Set it to noise mode, place the frequency somewhere in the 2 to 7 kHz zone, and keep the amount subtle. The idea is texture, not destruction. You can add redux after that for a touch of bit reduction or downsampling, but go easy. If you destroy the attack, you lose the usefulness of the hit. A little wobble and gradation is enough. Another option is to use a sample of tape hiss, vinyl crackle, or even a little real squeak. High pass it around 2 to 4 kHz, then gently saturate it and keep it low in the mix. This can work beautifully if you want a more realistic old media vibe. The key is restraint. Tape dust should be felt more than heard. If you can isolate it immediately, it's probably too loud. Now for the low support layer. This is the part that makes the hit feel like it has body when it lands over a break. A simple method is to duplicate the horn, pitch it down an octave, low pass it heavily, and shorten the decay. Then blend it quietly under the main horn. Put EQ8 on it, strip away the upper mids and highs, and leave only the low mid weight you actually need. If the layer is popping too hard, use a compressor to control it, and a little saturator if you want it to translate on smaller speakers. Again, this is support, not a bass note. Think of it as the floor under the hit. Once those three parts are working together, group them into a rack. In Ableton Live 12, that means grouping the devices or tracks into an instrument rack or audio effect rack, depending on your setup. This is where the patch becomes performable. Map your macros to things that matter musically. For example, horn tone, dust amount, drive, width, tail length, and level. Horn tone can control a filter or EQ shelf to make the horn brighter or darker. Dust amount can control erosion or the volume of your noise layer. Drive can handle saturator or drum bus drive. Width can open up the dust layer without spreading the main hit all over the place. Tail length can control reverb or delay send amount. And level is your final output control. This gives you a rack that can move from a dry warning stab to a full reload monster without rebuilding the sound from scratch every time. Now let's talk about attack. A DJ-friendly horn hit needs to cut through a transition without smearing the groove. That means the transient has to be fast and clear. Don't let the reverb start too early. Don't let the tail blur the first punch. If necessary, use a gate to tighten the tail or edit the clip envelope directly. One very effective trick is to let the dust appear just after the main transient. That way the hit lands cleanly, and the worn texture feels like it blooms behind it. That little delay in the character layer can make the sound feel bigger and more intentional. For the dub style space, use echo and reverb but keep them controlled. In this style, space is powerful, but too much can muddy the drop. Put echo on a return if possible, with times like eighths, quarters, or dotted values. Keep the feedback modest, maybe 10 to 25%, and filter the repeats so they're darker and less intrusive. A little modulation can help it feel like tape wobble. For reverb, use something short to medium, around 0.6 to 1.4 seconds, with a bit of pre-delay and a dark high cut. The important thing is that the main hit stays dry and punchy, while the sends give you a controlled trail that you can bring up for transition moments. Now the structure. This is where the sound really becomes useful in a DJ context. Instead of just dropping the horn randomly, think in phrases. A strong approach is an 8-bar intro phrase. Maybe bars 1 to 4 are a filtered break or drum loop. Then bar 5 gives you a teased horn with muted dust. Bar 6 brings the full response hit. Bar 7 leaves a gap or just an echo tail. Bar 8 finishes with a final hit or a cut that tees up the drop. That kind of phrasing makes the section feel like a proper setup rather than an effects sprinkle. Another useful format is a 4-bar call and response. One bar of space or drum cue, then the horn, then a repeat with a variation, then a stop time moment for reload energy. That call, response, gap pattern is very effective in rag-inflected DNB because it mirrors the MC and sound system conversation. It also gives the listener a place to breathe before the next impact. In this music, the absence of sound is often as important as the sound itself. If you want it to feel old school rather than generic, add controlled imperfection. Resample the horn through a return chain. Try a bit of vinyl distortion. Use auto filter to add movement or a slight frequency sweep. Use redux sparingly. Offset the timing of the dust layer a hair so it feels slightly loose and human. If the result feels too modern, reduce the stereo width and roll off some of the top end. Sometimes the most authentic move is to print the sound through a slightly imperfect chain, and then resample the best version back into audio. That leads into one of the biggest pro tips here. Print your best version early. Once the hit starts feeling right, resample it to audio. Advanced jungle editing gets much easier when you're dealing with a consolidated clip instead of a complicated live rack. You can always keep the rack as a source, but having a printed version gives you more flexibility for chopping, nudging, repeating, and making those tiny old-school timing quirks that feel so alive. Now let's make sure it sits properly in a breakbeat arrangement. For jungle, the horn should feel like it's interacting with the break. Let it answer a snare fill or land right before a bass switch. Let the tail overlap the break a little, but not so much that it masks the kick punch. For rolling DNB, use it as a phrase marker every 8 or 16 bars, and pair it with bass automation or a filtered drum section. The horn should feel like a signal that the energy is changing, not like random decoration. A few common mistakes to avoid. Too much low end in the horn will muddy the mix, so keep the main layer high passed, and let the low support layer do only what it needs to do. Overlong reverb tails can kill the DJ utility, so keep them short unless you're deliberately going for a transition wash. Too clean processing can make the sound feel disconnected from the rest of the tune, so don't be afraid of saturation and degradation. And be careful with stereo width. The main hit should stay fairly centered. If you want width, put it mostly on the dust or space layer. Here's a useful advanced variation. Build two linked states of the horn. One is a dry warning version, shorter and thinner, more mid-forward. The other is a full reload version, wider, dirtier, louder, and with more tail. Map them to adjacent keys or scene slots so you can switch between them in arrangement or performance. That gives you a really practical way to escalate energy without redesigning the sound every time. You can also turn the horn into a phrase. Instead of a single stab, start slightly flat, glide into the main hit, and let the tail drift downward or wobble a little. That can give it a chant-like raga feel, even without vocals. Another nice move is to stack the horn with a second source, like a short vocal chop, a reversed fragment, or a narrow noise burst. The goal is question and answer energy, not just one blast repeating over and over.